first slide there, it's let go and let God's love flow. It's been an amazing morning for worship and praise, and there was an opportunity to start the process of letting stuff go. And I'm very excited this morning about presenting what's been on my heart for the last probably month. There's a wee clip to start us off, and it's about a father and son. And I hope it demonstrates just a little slice of maybe how much God loves us. Through the eyes of this father who demonstrates an amazing love for his son. And it's how obvious when you watch this clip, how obvious that his love shines through to a point where a few of us might be in tears. It is a very emotional movie. I gurn at it, honestly, and every time I watch it, it just gets me going. So I'm just warning you. Is there any hardened hearts in here? Is anybody here is not prone to having a wee tear? Well, maybe this might be your day. Maybe this might be your day. I know one time when I watched the Hannah Montana movie. This is a true story. Are you laughing, Ruth? There was a wee bit where Hannah revealed herself as the true person. And my daughter looked across and I had a wee tear in my eye. So that was a really embarrassing moment. And my kids keep me going almost every week about that one. So this clip will bring out an emotional side to us. And hopefully it'll help us to start the process of letting go and let God's love flow.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who taught the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star?
I
Gets me every time, and every time it rocks me to the core of my being, because it clearly gives us just maybe a slice of what God's love for us is like. Would you agree with that? Andrew's theme now for Exchange Church is all about God's love, and especially love is all about God's love for us and not based on our love for him. This next part, point one, is in 1 John chapter 4. Is this, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's not even about the fact that we love God. It's actually about that God loves us. That's the starting point. And that allows us to love. And that's a great starting point. And yet, the reality is that many of us on a week-to-week basis, we don't get to see God's love flow through us. Part point two, my hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That's Romans 5 verse 5. And potentially on a daily basis, if we could just grab what that clip demonstrates, we literally could have the same impact on everyone who comes into our contact. People's heart potentially could melt in our presence because that love of God is oozing out of us at every possible contact we have with the human race that God created us because of his love. And in his love, we get to receive so much. In Romans 5:5, for by one man's offense, death reigned through the one, how much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Here we have the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Gift is a free gift. God loves us so much that he's given us the full works here. And in Romans, again, in verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ. You know, the ultimate prize for us, maybe, is that we get at the end of our lives to live out this eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that an amazing concept? I mean, if that was the end point, I'd be more than happy. God's love through Jesus, right at the start of his ministry, was at times, I I looked at Jesus' life, and it almost was like a networking business in the sense that Jesus started an amazing duplication process. He was the beginning of an amazing phase of love that totally oozed out of him. That's God's love. And that love spread like wildfire through people who came into contact with Jesus. And to duplicate it and replicate it until millions of people today, now around the world, know about the work of Jesus. Guys, we're still in that networking business today. This is what exchange is about. And we're supposed to continue the duplication process. Is anybody here excited about Jesus today? Are we excited? Of course we are. And we are all still keen to fly the flag for Jesus. Have we still got that energy to go out there and say how it is? Jesus loves you. Harry Phillips over here, where is he? Was in my house a few weeks ago. And the guy was bouncing, he was exploding. Why? Because he had come across the grace message about God's unmerited favor and love, etc., etc., etc. And he discovered Andrew's inside out message. Now, you discovered Andrew's, and he absorbed it. And that day, I think, he told me he was going to go to the top of Slemish, and he wanted to shout out and tell the world, all right, about Jesus. And the energy, for that next hour, I was just absorbed with his energy. And maybe someday you'll get to hear his story soon. Here's a thought for today. Let's say God announced only to Exchange Church, but heaven was almost full. And that in 30 days, the pearly gates would be closed one last time. What would you do? How would you respond? How would you respond to that information? If only Exchange Church got that inside information, would you be still consumed with your daily issues? Like paying the bills or getting up the next morning and going to work at 8:45? Or are we in taking that mutt of a dog out for a walk? I keep hearing of these long walks you do. As those 30 days come to a close, or maybe let's just stuff work. And let's get a 30-day plan. Because all the stuff that grinds us at times nearly to a halt, and you know what I mean, don't we? We know what I mean, what that just consumes us and grinds us to a halt. You know what? I think we'll just let go almost immediately because we're out to get people saved. Let's make this building a 24-hour round-the-clock, getting people over that line with Jesus. I mean, in the first few days, we'll probably sell houses, valuables, because we have instant information. We don't need it. And let's use that money to buy buses. Does that sound good? Let's go out and hoard people into this church. Why? Because so many people's eternal destiny would be at stake. We're talking about heaven and hell here. It is critical time. The full coordination is in full flow of getting everybody over that line. The Exchange building has moved on to the Odyssey. Does that sound good? In fact, every large hall is full to the brim because God gave the Exchange people a 30-day window to demonstrate the flow of God's love that was already always there. We're not waiting for it to come. When we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, He gave us the fullness of heaven. I'll repeat, He gave us the fullness of heaven. Into our spirit beings, and potentially it might have to take God's announcement of a 30 days for us to let go of all the stuff that we've been talking about and very soon. And evidence has shown that we're very good at talking about stuff. This word stuff comes up and we'll discuss more of it for a short window. We literally will be going back to what God designed us to do, letting God's love flow through us 24 hours a day. and impacting the world to such a degree that ISIS, that Islamic State, would naturally dissolve, not because of a war mentality, because of a God's love mentality. ISIS couldn't survive. God's love consuming the world. Wouldn't that be amazing? Amen. Healing would become a normal day-to-day event. And of course, much, much more. That just with God's love, everything gets lined up. The whole purpose of the first two words of our theme today, letting go, is that whether we like it or not, we have been holding on with a tight grip to stuff in our lives. And during and after worship, there was definitely a platform there where I truly believe that we're going to start the process to truly letting go. This stuff is like a chain around our necks, and it's choking our abilities to go out there and declare the gospel of grace that's preached here every Sunday. Sometimes we barely get out of the door of the church, and our first words might be, "Did you see what so-and-so did or say? I hope that dinner hasn't been frazzled. Andrew took far too long." Or, "I'm so self-occupied by me, myself, and I." Because unfortunately, the biggest ministry of the day is self-serving. What can I get out of church? What can I get out of life? Me, myself, and I. So let's have a look at this stuff. I'll go and I'll try and make it short because we don't want to spend too much time putting a focus on it. But once we get through it, the ending is good. Offense. We often get offended by spoken words against us or our friends. It's such a big, big word. In Philippians 2, verse 14 to 15, it talks about complaining and disputing. I know that I work, and there's some people in there, all they do is complain and dispute all the time, and it is so tiring, and it wears me down mentally. This week, I've had to deal with so much complaining, and I'm the happy person in there trying to keep things going. Then there's work. Oh. Then there's worry. Do we worry? We worry about everything and anything. And if we have nothing to worry about, we'll go and find something to worry about. Isn't that right? Because we can't be void of worry. It's a part of who we are, apparently. But it doesn't. Anxiety. Anxiety is a much more increasingly used word. Today in my work, there's so many referrals coming through because I work with children, and it's like this suffering anxiety. They can't come to school. Their stress levels are so high. Fear. Apparently, we're fearful people. I just have to mention this as in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There's no fear in love, but love casteth out fear, because fear hath punishment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. He that feareth is made perfect, is not made perfect in love. Should be not in there. We just have to mention the word Ebola. People are panicking. Every day it's the update on ISIS. We have fear around our finances, around our health, global recession, and this DUP Sinn Féin carry on. What's going on? We just want to get on. And then there's the past. We get stuck on the past. Philippians 3, 13 to 14 is the next. Is about not looking back and about pressing forwards towards a goal. And yet of our past, we tend to meditate on negative moments that brings us down. Now, some of the bad stuff, yes, we can use it to help strengthen our character. But it doesn't totally have to define your future. Is it time to let go of some of this stuff? What do you think? Isn't it? Just to let go of stuff that we can let go. And let's press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Does that sound good? Here's an interesting statement, what I mentioned earlier. The biggest ministry today within the church is the ministry of self-serving. That's been written down. So many people approach the church with a, what can it do for me, Richard? It is what they call an earthly ministry. Per point 10, which is Philippians 3:18. Who set their mind on earthly things. Again, I'll not read it all through, but you get the gist of it. Me, myself, and I. All this earthly stuff. All the worries and the stresses and strains that life throws at us. What do we meditate on? Is it the above, or can we stop thinking about negative stuff? Millions of thought. We actually can't stop thinking. Have you noticed that? You can't stop thinking. Every minute, thousands of thoughts come into our head. And I personally have a little thing that I do on a day-to-day basis. When I have a negative thought, as soon as I go negative, I actually stop myself. Go, no, hold on a minute. And it doesn't take very long. If it's 9 o'clock, it could be 9:05, I have maybe a negative thought or something, and I actually stop myself. And I actually say to myself, no, that's not how I want to feel. How do I want to feel? And then I have my iPad, and I have some little visionary things that I do to help get me back on track. And probably want to do the first one. I have a gratitude journal. So I have this up, and I said, right, Lord, hold on, just stop here, right? I am grateful for my wife. I'm grateful for my kids. I'm grateful for Exchange Church. I am grateful for blah, blah, blah. You know what? Instantly, the worries and the anxieties that I have literally bang can almost stop straight away. It's amazing how quick, when you change your emotional state, everything else flows. And the next slide. Close your eyes and visualize having what you really want and the feeling of having it already. Strong biblical principles. Plan, breathing that you already received. Focus on being grateful for what you already have and enjoy it. Then release it in the universe. The universe will manifest it. What I'm saying is these are the strongest biblical principles known to man. Pray, believe, and we've already received it. Give thanks for it. It's not coming. It has already arrived. Do you get it? It's arrived. It's here. We've got the fullness. Next one. Believe. Act as if like you already have it. Not that it's coming, but it is already here. It's a done deal. Does that sound good? What you need has already arrived. It's here. Everything you need is already on planet Earth. And that changes my emotional state. There's another one. Little stones. I use these stones. I thank you, Lord, for health. I thank you, Lord, for wealth. I thank you, Lord, for prosperity. I thank you, Lord, for success. I thank you, Lord, for longevity, a long life. My pity party days have just come to an end, and all of a sudden, my emotional state has changed almost instantly. And this, for me, is in some cases, a daily little routine. And tell you what, it kind of keeps me on track. Look at that one. Wear it around your neck. Wear it on your as a bracelet. Ask, believe, receive. Does that sound nice? Sound lovely? When you're at the peak of some low moment because of what somebody has said about how you look, how you dress, your work, whatever it is, just be thankful. And receive it. Ask, believe, and receive. Any words? That last one of that one? Thank you. Here's the truth. Stress, offense, unforgiveness, work, heavy, blah, blah. All of those there, as we know, can cause health problems. It is a form of slow spiritual death and clearly blocks God's flow through us, clearly as your mind is so absorbed with issues that keep replaying in your mind over and over again. And when the opportunity comes to open up at Jesus, these issues just smother or distinguish us out. But here's the good news. here's the good news. We have the opportunity today and to start the process of truly letting go. You see, stress is our biggest killer. It is clear that stress is not from God. What is from God is peace. Do you agree with that? Peace is from Him. The God kind of peace. Not the give my head peace. It's possibly our main highway to releasing the fullness of God's love so that we can give it away. There's a verse in John 14, 27, which was one of Jesus' last set of words before he went to the cross. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the word gives, do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This verse and the word peace is the word shalom. And shalom, there's actually not a word in the English dictionary that accurately describes the fullness, the richness, and the power contained in shalom. Let's look at shalom. Let's give you some key words. What does it say? Completeness, safety, soundness in body, welfare, prosperity, peace, tranquility, contentment, peace in human relationships, peace with God through the covenant made at the cross, and peace from war. Is that a good peace? Not give me head peace, because that's what we think, that give me head peace. Who says that? Somebody says it. Give me head. Maybe we all say it. This is the peace that Jesus has left us as an inheritance. His completeness, His safety, His soundness, His prosperity, His peace, His tranquility, His contentment, His peace in human relationships. The new covenant of grace is also known as the covenant of peace, because Jesus and God says this to us today in Isaiah 54, verse 9 to 10. And it ends up, it says, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord. And I love the first part of this here, because so many people are thinking that God's angry with them, that God's on their case, that if something goes wrong because there's a judgment still to be left, and we know in exchange all the judgment's gone. But God says, I will not be angry with you nor rebuke you. I love telling up the people who tell me that God has left some slice of judgment left over for next week when I mess up. It's all gone. He will not be angry with us. So in closing, let's get excited about letting go and then totally resting upon His shalom peace. Because then I totally believe that we would start to function the way God had originally planned, that His love would pour us out today in the way that Belfast could become a platform for what could collapse the work of the enemy. What we have in exchange could collapse ISIS. And this Ebola crisis, the power of God's love in us coming out of us, Ebola would just disappear. We don't have to fight it because it's already been dealt with. We've already got the solution. We've already been armed to wipe Ebola off the face of the earth. Does that sound good? That's what we're talking about. That amazing confidence. Those 10 days to go, 5 days to go. Let's not forget, the pearly gates are closing. What would happen with 5 days to go? You know what I think I would be doing, and a lot were doing? We wouldn't go to bed. Time's too short. Time's too precious. There's people to get saved. There's people to get the revelation of Jesus. Why would you sleep for? We've too much to do. That's the power. What we already have on the inside of us. We don't have to wait for it. We have already got it. And what can we do as a body of Christ to start the process? I'm blessed to be an elder in exchange. And I'm blessed because I've been a part of four or five hours leadership meetings, not right? Long sessions. You know what? All I get is servant-hearted people trying to do the right thing, making plans to make this place a place of worship, making plans to make this a place of God's unmerited favor. And I hope and pray that people truly get the full understanding of what we're doing here, that really, possibly, maybe the church hopping days could be coming to an end. I am so excited 3.5 years later about why I'm here. And I'm so blessed, I'm honored, and I'm privileged to be just releasing some of God's love today through this message. Very finally, I bumped into Chris Majemsa, who's downstairs helping with the kids' ministry. God bless him. He put his hand up for it now, but he loves it. He does. And I gave Chris a slice of what I was talking about. Let go and let God's love flow. And Chris straight away said, look at my phone message. My wife literally sent this, was it maybe that morning or the previous day? And I didn't plan this, but Karen sent Chris a message. And I asked him, I gave him my full authority, pass it on. And this was about a man that we both know who for different reasons is very hard to like. He's not a very gracious man. He's no time for you. He's dir, and all those words that you could possibly think of as a human being. But this was Karen's message. Came across this quote this morning. If the worship team would maybe get organized to come back again to get things set up. Came across this quote this morning and thought how apt it is after your story. This guy, John. Now, it's not me. Trust me. The guy called John. And this is what she said. When you become the kind of person that can love without measure, without being loved back, you know that is a great sign that you are growing and maturing in God's love. Love you, Karen. It's not a lovely for a wife just to notice that Chris was loving this guy by choice, presenting the fullness of God's love, and didn't care if he got anything back, because he probably wasn't going to get anything back. Because this guy, who I'm hoping and praying someday, will get the full revelation of what God's love's all about. And Chris just brought this phone. This happened on Thursday morning. I went, Chris, that is just awesome. That just fully epitomizes what we're just trying to achieve here at Exchange. And Chris, about 2 years ago, wasn't even a Christian. Chris, 2 years ago, told me he didn't even know if he believed in God. And here he is at Exchange, been on a missionary trip to Romania. His whole family have been transformed. Day by day, their lives are changing in such a positive way. This is just another example of what the grace message can do. Letting go and let God's love flow. Thank you. This is what you do. This is what you do.